Now, today is election day. In the morning, there will be an elect. It's an election day today, but in the morning, there will be an elect. And I'm saying this not because I'm not going to talk about the election. I've got something in the Bible about this. Elect. The elect of God. Several places in the Bible about the elect of God. There's several places about the election. It goes along with the calling that I preached on down at the camp Saturday. It goes along with the calling. It goes along with the vision. And without a vision, men will perish. But I want to turn our Bibles back to the good old chapter of 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read down here just a little bit on a certain place. Let's start here, the 8th verse. And it speaks of these things. And then we'll go back and with some things here. And it says in verse 8, "For if these things..." How many thinks that you can be the elect? The elect. How many knows that there's an election? You don't know what's in the Bible, did you, some of you? There's an election, and we're going to read about it right here. So, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Now here we go. Verse 10. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling," and what? "And election sure." Your call. So let's talk about your calling and election that you can make sure. It says in verses, it says, "If you do these things, ye shall never fall." In other words, you're permanently elected. Permanently elected. If you do these things, you shall never fall. For, and here's something else, verse 11, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So can you see that we get elected or become the elect to get in the kingdom? "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you knew them, and be established in the present truth." So these are things that we have to be established in. Let's go back and read just a few verses up here. In verse 2, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." So he's called us. I want to get some different words together here. Calling, elect, election, and vision. Those words go together. "According as his divine power, he has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." So he's called us to glory and virtue. "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust." He's delivered us from all those things and brought us into an area here. And that's the way. Now, this is the way we get it. The election takes place in us. And then we become the elect through these things. "If these things now be in you and abound, they make you that you'll neither be barren or unfruitful in the what? In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And it says in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith" what? "Virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness." There's a message in every one of them. "And to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Then he goes down and says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin." Then verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling. Now, your calling. Somebody said, I don't know if I'm called or not. Every one of you is called. He calls you to get saved. That was a calling. You've done that. Now there's some more calling. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Permanently elected into the things of God. I'd like to turn our Bibles just a minute to Matthew's Gospel, 24. Matthew chapter 24. And I would like to read verse 31. And in how many knows Matthew 24 is the chapter that's written about just before the coming of the Lord? That he's coming and all these things are happening. Now let's look at verse 31. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together his what? His elect. Now, how did they get to be elect? 2 Peter chapter 1 tells you all the story right there. How did they get to be the elect? Amen. All these things were electing them. Add to your faith virtue. To virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance. That's the electing elements. Then you become elect, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet and shall gather together his elect from the four winds from the end of heaven to the other. From the four winds from the one end of heaven to the other. So once that election is finished, and we become the elect of God, where we don't fall, we don't stumble around, then we have an assurity that when he comes, he's going to gather together everybody in the world. No. He's going to gather together who? His elect. Elect. Praise God, I'm going to tell you tonight, there's an election that's much better than President of the United States. These guys are busting around. I'm glad it's got them that's wanting the job. I wouldn't want the job. I wouldn't have the job. I'm president of a corporation. That's big enough for me. That's about all I can tote. But you see, God put me in there. Not the people didn't elect me. There wasn't a board that appointed me. I chose to do that and done all these things to where God appointed me to do a job. And when God appoints you to do a job, then there's something really going to happen. I want to turn the Bibles back where we was at Saturday down there, the text that we read in the 29th chapter of Proverbs and verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. For there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, here's what we have to have. We have to get, every one of us need to get vision. The vision. Now, they had visions in the Bible. We're going to get into some of that here just in a minute. But the vision is very important. We need to get a vision for what God. See, a vision is something that God gives you by appointment to go and carry something out under the anointing. Just like Paul was down in the street called Straight. He was praying. He was a wicked man. He'd come down there to kill the Christians or whatever that they had, but he was blinded and at a street called Straight. And Ananias up there never mentioned anymore in the Bible except that one time in the 9th chapter of Acts, and God spoke to him and gave him a vision of Saul praying in the street called Straight, And he said, go down there and put your hands on him. And he went down there and prayed for him, and the scales fell from his eyes. Now what happened? Here was a man that was against the things of God. Now here was Ananias with one appointment, one job. He may have had others, I don't know, but that's the only one that's spoken in the Bible of him. And he just done exactly what God said. He just went down to the street called Straight and walked right in and said, Brother Saul, the Lord has sent me to lay hands upon you that you might receive your sight. He walked in and laid his hands upon him, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he got up. Now, you know, just what he said when he got there. He said, Brother Saul. Saul was already saved. He'd done got to the altar with his blindness and scales on his eyes. And when he prayed for him, the scales fell from his eyes. And he rose up, he could see. He had vision now. And he was filled with the Holy Ghost. How many knows that? Then he went into the ministry. He had a calling. Now his vision was to build churches, establish churches. And he went around for all these places establishing churches, praying for the sick and doing all those things. But look who one man, maybe he wasn't even a preacher, one man that got a vision, one man that made the elect part of it. God gave him the vision to go into the street called Straight and lay his hands upon him that he might see and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's tie this up a little bit stronger here. Let's turn our Bibles over to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. There they was at the call to the street called Straight. And let's read the first four verses of Acts chapter 2. Then we're going to come down to Peter's message. Acts chapter 2. You can mark these down. Study them out. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing and mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, it's not good enough. That's not where God... How many believes that God just wants to get this house full of the Holy Ghost? No. He wants it in you. That brings you to part of the election. That gets you to running for office. Huh? Yeah, how many knows Paul run a race? He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. Paul was one of the elect of God. Peter was an elect of God. And they were able to write about these things. Now, here we find in verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and set upon each of them. Now here's the part that God wants in the church. And they were all filled with what? God wants everybody in the church filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, how do you know? Well, on the day of Pentecost, it was 120 plus others gathered together in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came in that we're talking about here. How many of them were filled? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:42 said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread from house to house. Goes on down to say, and God added to the church daily such as should be saved. This church ought to grow daily, not weekly, monthly, or yearly, daily. Every day somebody ought to get saved and start out in this church. Everybody could win a soul, get them started. And said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, that set off a big row. Everybody was upset about it. They heard these people talking in their own language, the Cretans and the Arabians and all these other countries that they were gathered together. I believe there's 18 or 19 of them. I'm not going to take time to get into that. But all of them had got the Holy Ghost, but they could hear these people that got the Holy Ghost. They could hear them speaking in their language. And they said, well, are not all these Galileans? Yeah, they're all Galileans. How come we can hear our language from Arabia our language from Crete, our language from these other places, Cyrene and Egypt. How come we can hear our language, and all these are Galileans that can't speak in this other language, but we can hear our language coming out of the mouth of these people? Doesn't that sound like something? You know what was happening? There was an election going on. It wasn't quite yet elect, but there was an election going on. We got election going on tonight. Somebody will be elect in the morning. There was election going on. They were all gathered there. They were speaking in tongues. Let me tell you what's going on. There's an election going on in this church. There's an election going on in this church. There's an election going on in Bible Way. Man is not doing the election. It's God that's holding the election. And guess what? We're not the one that's doing the voting. Guess who's doing the voting? God is doing the voting. He's going to vote on you. And he's going to vote elected or non-elected. God votes on you. He was proud of Paul. Here's what Paul said. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. There may be an election going on inside of some of you. I have elections all the time inside of me. Pretty soon, I either get elected or fail. I've got a choice, ain't you? I can either get elected or fail. The way I get elected, I add to my faith virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance. Every time that I run up against a wall, I begin to do those things. It's a process of election. It's counting the votes. Each one of them is a vote for your election. Isn't this silly? But it takes the foolishness to confound who? Somebody said, I'm not interested in this. Well, it's all foolish. No. Yeah, it is foolishness, but it confounds the wise. Now, let's go on deeper a little bit in this. On down here, finally they were all acting like they were drunk. Like I've seen some of you do once in a while, but it's not often enough. Huh? Well, it's not often enough. How many knows that we need to get out someplace under a shade tree and pray every day till we can weep? He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth weeping. God wants tears. Tears. They sow in tears or what? Going to reap in joy. Elected. Imagine men elected to joy. I believe that's what happened to John. I ain't seen him without a smile on his face for months now. He just always got that smile, and this is happy as he can be, running around hugging people. And he's happy reading his Bible. He just can't work hard enough. Works down there in the cabinet shop all day, and then comes in of a night and goes up on the hill and splits wood. He loves to work. Just smiling. How'd you like to have an experience like that? Well, he's elected to it. See, we're elected into all these good things. We become the elect and we have those things. Now listen to what he says here. Peter said in the 14th verse, verse 12 said, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter standing up, with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now listen to this. And your sons and your daughters will what? Will prophesy. Now sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Visions. So that vision, what did Proverbs 29 say? Verse 17? Without a vision, men will what? Perish. So we all need to get vision. Everybody can have that vision. How many knows when you get the Holy Ghost, your eyes are open more? Huh? We need the Holy Ghost. We need to have vision. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said that the sons and daughters are going to prophesy. And he said the old men is going to dream dreams. I told him down there the other day, I'm kind of mixed up because I'm still having visions and dreams too. And I know I'm not young, but there's something about that. I believe that God brings us into a spiritual realm where really we're young on the inside and no matter what happens to the outside. And I believe if we can just get into that area, it's going to be one of the healthiest things that you ever had for your body, for your spirit, soul, and body. It'll bring health. How many knows that? How many knows that the church needs to be elected to health? We don't need Obamacare. Lord help us. We sure know this is going to break the nation. $718 billion for Obamacare, and they haven't even got it established yet. We don't need that. We need a vision. We need the spiritual health. If our spirit is healthy, our body is going to be, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be healthy. Come on. Elected to health. Elected to be caught up. He's coming out. He's going to take his elect. Elected to do those works of God. If these things be in you and they abound in you, you shall not be, you know what? You not shall be barren in the knowledge of our Lord, and you'll be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar. He's not elected. He becomes the elect. So he's coming after the elect. How do you get, what's the process of being elect? It has to be election. God's holding elections on us. Well, take it or leave it. It's true anyway. Let's look here. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, Peter said. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's everybody. Man, woman, red, yellow, black, white, large, small. He's going to pour it. It's being poured out. You see, it's what we do with it. Sometimes people resist it. Guess what? I was one of them that resisted it before I got saved. The Holy Ghost was dealing with me. The Holy Ghost is the resting officer in this thing. He chases you down. We can pray, and the Holy Ghost is what comes and arrests you. The Holy Ghost is the resting officer. I quit a good job in Kansas City, moved to St. Louis, and I thought, boy, I'll get away from that. The Holy Ghost was after me. There's a church that was praying for me every day. I got to St. Louis, it's still there. You know what I done? I said, well, I'm just going to go into a tavern here and get drunk. I got in there and got drunk, and there was another fellow sitting on the bar stool there, and he was under conviction just like me. So we both broke into tears sitting there drinking our beer. Everywhere I went, somebody was elect, or God was putting them through a process of getting elected. And so finally, I just give up, and I knelt down, and guess what? From that day forth, I'm delivered from it. 55 years ago, never took another drink, never smoked another cigarette. Oh, can you say amen? Throwed my whiskey bottle away, throwed my beer bottle away. Listen, getting elect, living a pure life, that's an election. You know, when I get examined up at Columbia, my wife heard it the other day. They said, oh, your lungs are clear. And I always have a good testimony for them. I said, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 55 years. They said, that's the reason. That's the reason. Huh? See, all kinds of things the elect can have. God wants us all to come to that place that we have, that the elect. Amen? You see, whoever is elected in this natural election that we've got going tonight, they're going to have the whole nation on their shoulder to run. And when you get elect, God's going to give you jobs to do. And without a vision, men will perish. And when God gives us a job, He always gives us a vision. You know why I'm in this church? I got a vision for this church. Whether anybody else got it or not, I got it. Got a vision. I got a vision of it being full of people that's filled with the Holy Ghost. I've got a vision for this community that all the critics and all the ungodly and all the everything else that's around in this community, that God's going to deal with them until they fall on their face and get saved. I took a church at Alton, Missouri one time, that's been 40 years ago, way over 40 years ago. We'd had a brush arbor there, and there was 127 got saved, and they moved into this old Baptist church, you know. Nobody was having church in there, and the fellow told me, he says, "You can't have church here." I said, "Why?" He said, "There's old grudges hanging around on the wall." I said, "I don't see no grudges hanging on the wall." I said, "I can detect this people's got grudges in their heart. But I don't see none on the wall." See, people will lay it off on the building. They'll lay it off on each other. "It's not my fault. I didn't do it." But I want to tell you, when it all comes down, mankind needs to repent. Peter said in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, turn to that. So let's see what his message was to them, the Jews, the ones that come against the elect, the Jews. Acts of the Apostles 3:19. Look at it. "Repent ye and be converted." That's when you get elected, is when you get your soul gets converted. You see, your spirit man's born again, but your soul is converted. And it says in James chapter 1 and verse 2, it said that the word of God received that word which is able to save your soul. And it converts. Your soul is saved and converted, but the spirit man, St. John chapter 3, it says, you must be what? Born again. And except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't be elected to the kingdom of God until he gets born again. I hope you're getting this. God gave me this message just about 2 hours ago. It's fresh off of the throne. And why he had me use this, I don't know, but I guess it's because it's a night of election. Somebody's going to get elected tonight, good or bad. We're going to have to answer to somebody. Well, I pray that it's something good. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing what? Good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And if Jesus went about doing good, that's what we're supposed to do, go about doing good. So it says here, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So it has to come from the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord gives us vision. And without a vision, men will perish. How many wants to perish? Without a vision on the inside of you, you're going to perish. Without a vision, the church is going to perish. Without a vision, your family's going to perish. Without a vision, but all it is perishing, perishing, perishing. And that's what I find in the last days. It's going to be a time of perishing, but it's also going to be a time when he comes and brings his elect out. Hold on, it just here, walk back. When the Lord comes and takes his elect, I don't want to be left behind when this thing takes place, because it is going to be one horrible place to be. And they are doing all these things, you know, just anything that's ungodly, they put it in there that that's all right. That's what they're saying. It's all right. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, it said, the time will come when men will call good evil and evil good. Did you know what they call us? Fanatics. That can't be God. They're crazy. Huh? But abortion's good. Man marrying a man, that's good. That's what they're saying. It's all right. According to the Bible, it's all wrong. See, they can be elected all they want to in the offices in the Congress and offices as president and everything else, but they're not going to be elected for the coming of the Lord to take them up as the elect. It just won't happen. So a calling by vision to act upon the will of God for you. How many believes if God tells you to do something, then that's He called you to do that. And you have to act upon that. Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Oh, look at what this world's doing. What a mess it's in. This world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acts 2, 1 through 4, and Acts 2, 12 through 17. All these scriptures that I've given here tonight in 2 Peter, Matthew chapter 24, Proverbs 29, 17. And these scriptures that I've given all bear witness, tells us what we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to live. That don't mean maybe that you can get there overnight. Amen. There's young men that's being called into the ministry now, and that doesn't mean they're prepared for the fullness of it overnight. You have to study to show yourself approved. The workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to pray and seek God. You have to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You have to have the anointing. Isaiah says the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, that same anointing teaches us. The anointing will teach you. It's just in, when it's in there, it begins to teach your mind. We got to figure that how that God operates. He operates from the heart to the soul and then to the body. And the devil operates the other way. He comes at you from outside, to get to your soul and then to get to your spirit man. He uses attractive things that's attractive to the soul to attract us and distract us from being elected and becoming as the elect. I'm going to ask you to do something. I was just looking at that before I came to church, but there's so many scriptures in there on election and elect. In the back of your Bible, if you don't have a King James Version, but in all of them, they'll have the alphabetical order of the words that's in the Bible, and that elect and election, many scriptures on that, probably at least 20 scriptures on them two words. Very, I've never heard anybody preach on it before, but I think we need something new now anyway, don't you?